Blog Talk Radio.
Never in the field of human conflict was so much owed by so many to so few. I hope, indeed I pray, that we shall not be found unworthy of our victory if after toil and tribulation it is granted to us. For the rest, we have to gain the victory. That is our task.
Let us therefore brace ourselves to our duty, and so bear ourselves that if the British Empire and its commonwealths last for 1,000 years, men will still say, this was their finest hour.
We shall not fail or falter, we shall not weaken or tire. Neither the sudden shock of battle nor the long-drawn trials of vigilance and exertion will wear us down. Give us the tools, and we will finish the job.
We shall go on to the end. We shall fight with growing confidence and growing strength. We shall defend our island, whatever the cost may be. We shall fight in the fields and in the streets. We shall fight in the hills. We shall never surrender.
You have tried to change my country. You've tried to change my life. No one ever asked me if I thought that this was right. It's time for us to tell you that we will go through hell to defend our country and to help BDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to get that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. We'll save England and the UK. Lied to all the people and tried to take away their rights. But we won't let you sell this land, not without a fight. It's time for us to tell you that you can go to hell. It's time for us to stand and fight and join the EDL. I'm proud to be an Englishman and I'm going to be free. I won't forget the men who died to give that right to me. And we will stand up against you and defend England every day. There's no doubt we love this land. To save England and the UK.
Gentlemen, this is the English Defence League radio show on Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk, Mr. Upkell, on blogtalkradio.com. English Defence League Radio, the voice of the EDL. And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to welcome a great lady. She's from the Wiltshire Division. Her name is Corey Smoke, and she'll be on in a little while. as soon as she has got things sorted out. So, and I must say, now we've got English Rose's very own Kel, a.k.a. Red Fox Blogger. Good evening, Kel, and it's good to see you. And I totally made a hash of the start of the show this evening. What am I like?
Oh, Jeff, what you like. It was fine. How are you this evening? And, yes, I'm the English Rose tonight. That's just to match my little avatar in the chat room. I got a little rose there, so...
Very good. Ooh, I'm going to have to turn my speakers down. It just made me jump then on my headset. But, yeah, as I say, we've got a good show this evening, as I say, with Corey calling. Possibly, she could be in there this moment. No, I think that's probably Frank, but I'm not sure. But I know she'll be calling in soon. I know Glenn was just giving a heads up of what to do, sort of to call into Skype and that. So we'll be keeping a close eye for when she comes in then. But so we've got an interesting show, and we'll be talking, as I say, Corey's a part of the LBGBT, let's get it right, LBGBT division, which is the Wiltshire division. And so she'll be talking a little bit about some of the issues. Who's breathing heavy there? Is that Tim?
It's not me.
I think I hear a kitty cat. Meow.
I thought someone's breathing heavy. Hello. I'm getting one.
Good evening, everybody. Jeff.
Hi, Tim.
Good evening. Yeah. Good evening, Tim. I didn't even see you come through the cat flap. You sleep through there quicker than the grease lightning tonight, and it's good to have you on the show this evening. I hope you're well, Tim.
Oh, yes, I'm doing my Scarlet Pimpernel impression tonight. They seek him here, they seek him there, they seek that pussycat everywhere. So, yes, you wouldn't have seen me. I was in ninja mode, so you wouldn't have seen me.
Oh, you was in ninja? Ah, that's what it was. Kel, he was in stealth. He was in stealth mode. We didn't see him. That's it, stealth
and
mode.
And I bet he's wearing nothing but a mask.
Oh, my goodness me.
Sorry, Kel, I should have turned the video off before I got on the Skype.
I'm blushing now. Our listeners are all blushing and putting their hands over their eyes. Thank goodness it's not television, Tim.
Oh, dear.
My goodness me. But anyway, it's good to see you this evening, you and Kel. And as I say... We got Frank who's listening in as well this evening. So as I said, we're just going to wait now for Corey to call in, and then hopefully in maybe 5 or so minutes we'll have her on the show. But not forgetting that we have this Saturday, we've got a demonstration. And one of the speakers, someone that I was talking to earlier on in the week. The gentleman's name is, oh my goodness me, I forgot his name now, what am I like? Sunny England, is his name. He's great, he spoke at a few of the demonstrations before, and he'll be speaking Saturday. It's about this, the way that, about Hitler, and the way that the UIF, their tactics, the way they are, is very similar to that way. So this, it'd be really interesting to have him debriefing on the show on the Sunday. So hopefully we can get that lined up for this Sunday's show. So it's always interesting, isn't it, guys, when we do a debriefing after a demonstration. So let's just say Grantham, that is. So it should be very, very interesting. Excuse me. Where's my thing gone? I was just looking. I've got a little notebook there that I was writing things down, and I've dropped it at the back of the computer. Guys, I'm in a right up to an 8.
Oh, that just drives me mad.
Oh, my goodness me. I went to pick my book up, Kel, my notebook, and I dropped it, and it's gone at the back of the computer.
Ah. Well, you know what? While you're retrieving that, I've got something for Tim. And I was reading the National Post today, and there was an article in the newspaper, and this is, pertains to a university elder, and he's a professor, but I think he has tenure, and he was texting his students to let them know about exams coming up. And as a joke, he put in this Jay Leno sketch, and this is a video of Barack Hussein Obama concluding his speech, and he walks, as he's leaving the podium, he kicks open the door and stomps out, right? So the professor thought that this was just, you know, a cute way of offering a little bit of levity. Hey, you know, don't forget, you've got tests coming up. Well, Tim, they've coined a new term again. This professor has been charged with an alleged act of microaggression on the Internet. So I thought you'd find that interesting, Tim.
Microaggression.
Microaggressive man,
well,
you.
I'm always up for new terms. Ever since I found that the term grievance mongering taquilla artist goes around the world with relative ease, I thought, well, there's got to be scope for some more new terms. But that sounds like a good one, actually. It isn't one that I've heard before, but I think, you know, I could think of plenty of scenarios where you could drop that term in. But that's an interesting one. Have you got a link there, Kel? Oh, you have got a link.
Put it in the chat room, and to let everybody know, too, if they want to go to it, if they scroll down the article, the 30-second video of Obama, the spoof on Obama kicking open a door is in there. And this is what he texted. And he had to offer a big, huge apology. And the students are saying this is absolutely insanity. He did nothing wrong. This is hypersensitivity gone wild.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, especially if he's a tenured professor, because as I understand it, if you have tenure, it means you can get away with an awful lot of things that you couldn't if you were merely employed. Would I be right in saying that, Kel? Is that the case?
Yeah, because once you have tenure, that it's almost like a lifetime contract.
Hmm. Well, it does seem silly that he should be. Well, not only that he should be forced to apologize, but that he should even agree to apologize for something as minor and as harmless as that. I suppose it does say something about the aura of political correctness that must be going around that particular place of education if the students are actually up in arms about it. It does seem to be... It does seem to be a case of oversensitivity everywhere. I'm reading it now, and it's talking about the majority of the students were expressing confusion, concern, and disagreement. Oh, that's about the necessity of an apology. Well, okay. I don't see what's to be confused about, really. I mean, they should just say,
yeah,
get your big boy pants on, grow up and stop being so offended by such minor trivial things, you know, and do what you're supposed to be doing, which is studying to get your degree and go out and do something useful in the world. And if more people said that when these things came up, it's just like a storm in a teacup, really, and it needs somebody to just stand up and say, stop being so stupid, grow up, put your big boy pants on and get on with your work. And that's it. People are just too scared to say that. Well, most people. I'm not. But at this particular this particular educational establishment, you would think that there would be somebody who would just say, hold on one cotton-picking minute, as I know they like to say in that part of the world, and just let's have a reality check here. And let's stop getting offended over... minor events like that. I mean, you know, it's as bad as filing a police complaint for being called a mendacious grievance mongering taquilla artist, I might say.
Oh, exactly. And I like what this editorial in this editorial written by Emnia Pendis. She I don't know if that's a male or a female. Oh, it's a male. My apologies. Here come those fake names again, Tim and Jeff. But he wrote, and of course his tongue was firmly planted in his cheek, that we're slowly coming to grips with the fact that we are all racist, sexist, patriarchs, and so on. If I learned anything at McGill University, it's that a vocal minority has deemed us to be both oppressed as well as oppressors. Like, where does it end? And, of course, the thing is, too, this is Barack Hussein Obama. That guy is totally off limits for any form of criticism. If you criticize Barack Hussein Obama, whether it be his policies or his personal behavior, you're deemed a racist. And so this is what this is all about. But, gee, Tim, how do you feel about your new label there, you microaggressive you?
Microaggressor. Well, yes, I'm going to have to think about that one. Well, it certainly is. It's rather a long word to put on my T-shirt, you know, because, I suppose I could do a bit more down the gym and bulk my T-shirt muscles out a little bit so I can fit it all on in one line. But yeah, you know, microaggressor, cat strangler 101, microaggressor. Yeah.
Well, terms are coming out, Tim. You've started something rolling here, haven't you?
Yeah, I'm starting to quite like it.
Rolling with...
Yeah. I'm not just an aggressor, I'm a microaggressor. And I suppose for a computer consultant, you could actually make something of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Computer consultant by your local microaggressor. Yes, I like it. All right, I'm going to work with that one. See what
he's thinking. He's on his toes, Gail. He's thinking about that. He's going to work with that now, aren't you, Tim?
Yeah. I will see what I can do with that over the next day or so. Yeah, nice one.
Okay, Glenn. Tim. Yeah, I was going to say, I know Glenn is trying to get hold of Corey, our guest. Just to explain how she gets in, into the studio and that. So just have to bear a little bit longer, ladies and gentlemen. It's the first time that Corey's been on a radio show, so it's a bit nerve wracking for her as well. As we all know, it's like our first times when we come onto a radio show, don't we, Kel? We all know what that was like. And yourself, Tim.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I remember my first time.
The old heart beating.
Oh, the radio show, yeah. Sorry.
Told you he's wearing nothing but a mask.
Oh, and a bow tie. And a bow tie.
and a bow tie. My goodness me. He's a bit posh, isn't he, Kel?
I thought he'd be wearing a cat bell.
anyway.
No, I'm not going to make any jokes at all about wearing a cat bell. I'm not even going to go there.
Oh,
my
ding-a-ling. Duff didn't hire a lady.
I know. I can see all the smart comments are lining up for the chat room right now. Well, why would Tim want a cat bell round his neck if only Kel could hear him? Oh, never mind. Let's not pursue
Agnes
that.
Was saying, Tim, Agnes was saying, can't be stealthy when you're belted, when you're belled.
Well, yes. I mean, they do have a phrase over here, you know, which is called belling the cat, believe it or not. And one of these days, I intend to find out what it means. But I do know that phrase exists. I'm not wearing the cat bell tonight. It's just boxer shorts, bow tie, and a mask. That's right. So
dressed to kill.
You know that Blog Talk Radio, they actually do have capabilities in that you can turn on a host cam. I don't know if you're aware of that, but that would be funny.
I wonder why that little light had gone on the top of my laptop screen.
I think that'd be so embarrassing for a lot of our, a lot of probably people are just sitting in their shorts and things like that. Okay, so imagine it all of a sudden they switched the camera on by mistake. And people are watching. Oh! That'd be a little bit surprising, wouldn't it? Especially myself sometimes, Kel. Where, it could happen. Though. But we've often talked about that. They've got the technology that you can, have webcams going on Blog Talk Radio as well. I think so, isn't it, Mike, Kel, that they can? I'm not sure how it's worked out. But it should be an interesting prospect for us all. I mean, maybe to expand a little bit onto the TV side of things. So, you know, I don't know. It just had to be a little bit different in our ways. I suppose radio and television is a totally different, you know, sort of kettle of fish, like, isn't it, really? So,
well, I mean, I actually think there would be some mileage in having a little bit of video incorporated on some of these radio shows. The only problem is, of course, that you've got a technological bottleneck in terms of bandwidth.
Mm-hmm.
And what that means for the technically uninitiated is you can't squeeze all that data into a very tiny, my analogy's got itself in a twist now. You can't squeeze a lot of data into a small space over a small period of time without causing all sorts of technical problems. So video is, unfortunately, not on the menu for Blog Talk Radio at the moment. But you never know. As technology improves and bandwidth increases, we may yet find that you will be entertained to the sight of me in my bow tie, my boxer shorts, and my cat mask. But don't hold your breath.
No. I just had Eric Kyle saying, the NSA were caught spying on people using their own webcams, Jeff. So, and I just said to Eric, oh, really? I did hear something, it's gone back a little while ago, that they was actually spying on people through their own webcams. So that's a thing of privacy that's been under attack straight away then, isn't it? So, yeah, it can have all sorts of problems could occur with that situation. Would you not agree, guys?
Well, you could do, but I have to say that I can't really see what the NSA would gain by... you know, apart from having a bit of fun with a few beers on a Friday night, you know, let's see whose webcam we can commandeer and see if we can have a few laughs. I can't really see that they could obtain anything of any real significance from a security point of view. I mean, okay, so you see a guy sitting in front of a laptop. That's hardly going to be useful in any form of security operation at all, I wouldn't have thought. Whereas, of course, if you could monitor emails and keep track of communications between two or more people, that obviously has a security implication that from the NSA's point of view, that would be very useful. But I can't see the same thing being useful when it comes to video, not to the same extent. And if I was in charge of the NSA, I don't know that I would really want to spend my time pursuing it, because it's a waste of resources. It'd be nice to know if you could do it. I dare say there are people in the NSA who are sufficiently technically advanced to take over people's computers and switch on the webcams without the little telltale light coming on the top. I'm sure that can be done from a technical point of view. It's just I can't see a big advantage from a governmental security aspect. Your primary concern is to try and monitor communications between people, and chasing emails would seem to be a better use of the time. That's my own personal take on it, from what I know of computer forensics.
Very good take as well there. Ladies and gentlemen, we are having a little problem with Corey calling. There's a little problem that she just isn't quite sure about the how she calls in and that. So hopefully we'll get that rectified, and we'll have Corey Smoke of the Wiltshire Division calling in very, very soon. So it's just certain problems we get now and again, just people not too sure. She says she's pressing the Skype but just goes black. Okay.
Yeah, what I'll do is I'm going to go into green room with Glenn and get this sorted. But meanwhile, you do have a caller. It's not Corey, but I think you'll want to take this call while Glenn and I are getting this sorted.
Okay. Is this 410?
I-4707.
Hello,
oh,
Jeff.
Yeah.
This is Schmeagle.
Hey, Schmeagle. Yay.
Schmeagle.
What have you got,
Jeff? I am not a computer. I am not a computer master. The master says the Schmeager is not the computer.
Ah. But it's still precious. Isn't that right?
Yes, the precious.
Yes.
give it to me.
It's precious, definitely like spam, isn't it? So it's like the spam. It's very precious to you, isn't it, the spam?
Yes, they told me this. The guest is late. The internet is bad internet, so your guest is late. So me, the Schmeagle, is here. Precious is the precious does the precious sweet.
That is just so good. Love that.
It's Tim, did you want to ask him, because he's calling all the way from the middle world, isn't it?
Middle Earth.
Russia is in the fire. It's in the fire.
Oh, right, okay. Well, yes. I mean, for our listeners, we do have various interesting people calling on this show from time to time, Schmeagle, as you probably know. And we had one gentleman from Spongistan who gave us some very interesting tips on how to get from where we are to where he is. And we have to catch a barge at 12 o'clock each Monday morning if we want to get to Spongistan. But perhaps you could tell us, if we wanted to get to Middle Earth, how we would get there. How would we get to you from where we are, Spiegel?
Yeah.
Yes.
That'd be good.
Yes, you take Penny Lane, listen to the Beatles record,
Ah. Okay.
Take a right turn on the Penny Lane to get to the Middle Earth. Ah.
Okay, turns on Penny Lane to get to the Middle Earth. Wow.
Is that near Strawberry Fields, Penny Lane, by any chance? I'm sure it was somewhere near
Strawberry Fields Forever, isn't it?
Yeah.
Strawberry Fields Forever.
Yes. But Penny Lane would
start. Listen to the record.
Ah, okay.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, you know, as I say, we have people calling in from all over the world and actually having someone from... especially from Middle Earth, calling all that way. It's amazing. So people like yourself listen to the English Defence League radio station then, and you've managed to tune in okay. So it's a lot of people like yourself listen to the station.
Yes, the EDR.
Hey, that's what we like to hear. Tell me, Schmeagle, are we very popular amongst the Balrog community? I think our listeners would like to know. The Balrog community in the mines of Moria, I believe. You're more likely to find them there. I just wondered, if they might have something to say about things. Are we not very popular in the Balrog community? Is that you don't want to hurt our feelings by telling us?
The master says, give me the precious. Give it to me.
Fair enough.
But absolutely. Well, I'll tell you what, it's so good that you've called in. Maybe you can get some of your friends to call in as well, because it's always great to take your call. As I say, we've got another gentleman who calls in from Spongistan, Mr. Wahibi, who calls in on the occasion of Friday, and to have your call. It's really interesting, isn't it, Tim, to take these fantastic calls from these people from all over the world.
Yes.
You have to bring the guest on, the guest and the master. Just remember, precious is the precious, that was the precious. Goodbye, EDL.
EDL, there you go.
Yeah,
you sing it loud, you sing it proud there, buddy. Yeah. There you go. Thank you so much for your call. That was, what can I say about that? Absolutely superb. So, right. So that was a great call from, what's his name?
Schmeagle is his name. The precious is his
Schmeagle.
Game. Yep, that's
precious.
The one. Precious.
So there you go.
Precious.
My precious. So, ladies and gentlemen, you see, so we, as I say, we have a very interesting show, especially with different people calling from all over the world. And as I say, tonight we've had that gentleman call in again, and it's good to know. But, Kel, any luck on our guest at all?
Yeah, Glenn and I are working, and what Corey is doing is that she's trying to refresh the page and come back in, write fresh again. And
oh, I see.
Just to let people know that Blog Talk Radio, once again, has been acting up for the last couple of days. As a matter of fact, Radio Jihad Network, MP91 Freedom Quest, had their show last night, and they were cut right off virtually midstream.
Oh, no.
And they had to end their program. And the Brian Craig show today, they ended their show at the 30-minute mark where they normally go for 90 minutes. So they were virtually in mid-sentence as well, and it just went on everybody. So I don't know if it's a BTR issue or if it is another issue altogether, but I know that Corey is calling from England. We are,
yes.
Our studio is based out of the United States, but if worse comes to worse, this might cost a bit, but if Corey would like to call in on the guest call-in, and that's 858-777-5934, if she has one of those programs where you can use the landline and stay on for an hour and it doesn't cost you anything, that might be an option as well. Other than that, if she's going to the page and she's clicking the Skype and her screen is going black, so I that one is new to me.
I agree. Is there, Kel, can we by any chance call them from the studio? We've done that before, haven't we? We called our guests from the studio. You've called them before. You're one of your guests before. Can we do that by any chance?
We can call them if they're in North America. If I call them, I don't know if I can call them from North America to England. That's the only thing. Yeah.
That's a good point. Well, we'll see how it progresses. I'm sure we will try to. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a little problem we got, and hopefully we'll rectify in the very near future. So just bear with us, and I think we're all waiting to hear what Corey has to say about some of the serious issues that we discuss week in, week out on the show. So, Kel, I was going to say maybe we need to take a little break there. What I did have from moving forward is it appears folks are being cut off by Middle Earth.
I think this could be the problem, you know. If BTR are routing their transmissions through Middle Earth, we could have all sorts of issues. You know, especially Smeagol's involved, you know, that could explain a great deal.
Well, you know what I'm going to do?
We may be also be guilty of micro Middle Earth bashing tonight. She's laughing out loud about that.
Yes.
What I'm going to do, I'm going to let you two carry on. I'm going to put myself on mute, and I'm going to go to the live chat online helpline and see if they can't help us from there. So carry on, gentlemen.
Okay. Thank you, Kel. Tim, so have you got any links that maybe you want to discuss on the show this evening, Rob?
I was looking today at a link. It's a fairly serious and it's quite a long, drawn-out link, so I'll try and summarise it briefly. But it's to do with the decline in confidence in people, which can lead to a drop in the birth rate. And in particular, this article was talking about Iran after the Iranian Revolution in 1979. And what they found, and I didn't know this, but after that revolution, when the mullahs in Iran clamped down on life as we would know it, normal life as we would know it in Iran, there was actually quite a drastic drop in the birth rate. And the reason I think this is interesting is because there's been several studies done showing that a drop in confidence in the way things are going generally can reflect itself in a drop of in the birth rate. And it's certainly true for Muslims in Iran, and apparently they are leaving Islam in their droves. For Christianity, and some just leaving Islam. And apparently, it's not as unusual a phenomenon as you might think. It's something that's been tracked in various places throughout history, where the population might have undergone terrific political upheaval, and that's resulted in, amongst other things, a lowering of the birth rate. And I'm just wondering what we could do over here in order to destroy confidence in Islam and perhaps bring about a decline in the birth rate and reverse the demographic trends that we currently see. Because one of the things that I find when I talk to people generally is they're all, well, no, not all, but a lot of people I talk to are quite fearful for the future. They know there's a problem. They're not sure what the problem is. We're doing our bit to try and break down what the problem is and to bring to them the nature of the problem and to show how that all is not necessarily lost, that we might overcome that problem. But if you don't really understand what the process is and what's happening, you can bring about a situation in statistical terms which reflects itself in a declining birth rate. And I'm just wondering if in fact that's the key to reversing the demographic problem that we have over here in the UK and in Europe, because as our listeners no doubt know, because we have talked about this before, The birth rate as it currently stands is well below the replacement rate of 2.1 for indigenous populations in Europe and in the UK, and well above for Muslim populations, where the Muslims have immigrated to Europe or to the UK, and they're showing signs of the demographic boom in terms of increased population to such an extent that there's a serious danger that we, the indigenous populations, might well be outnumbered by Muslims within two generations. And I'm just wondering if we're being systematically demotivated and demoralized by our political elites in complicity with the mainstream media, who are trying to foster this sense of demoralization, and conversely increase the morale of the incoming Muslim immigrants by giving them everything they want at our expense. And I'm just wondering if we could actually reverse that situation, we might actually find that it might be relatively, a relatively simple matter. I may be simplifying it a bit too much, but if we were to concentrate on things which destroyed the self-confidence of Muslims and their confidence in Islam and its apparent unstoppable rise, if we could actually just stop that and make them realize that Islam as an ideology is a complete and utter failure, certainly when you're talking in terms of a civilizational model, I've often said this, that it's vastly inferior to the Judeo-Christian civilizational model. Well, it's all right for me to say it, but what we really need is for that to enter the public consciousness and for that to become apparent to the meanest intelligence that our civilization and our traditions and values are vastly superior to those of Islam. If that became apparent and people or Muslims lost confidence in Islam to the extent that this particular article tells us about in Iran, and I'm just about to drop the link into the chat room now.
Thank you, sir.
Then it might give us a means of turning round what seems to be a really big problem, and at least bringing it to a point where it can be contained and controlled. That was my initial thought on reading that article. I don't necessarily think it's suitable to discuss in its entirety for the show tonight, because A, it's a long article to read, and B, there are various external links which you might want to explore before you come back and talk about it. But it might be something for our listeners to take away with them tonight, to have a look at, and maybe come back and discuss, I don't know, on another show, not necessarily tomorrow, but, you know, maybe Sunday or sometime next week. But that was quite an interesting one. So there you go.
Very interesting. And as you say, Tim, the great thing about the shows that we do is the other shows that we can expand on that. It's in people's minds, and if they follow some of the links and they get up a little bit of speed, and so we can have another show that we can maybe expand on some of the finer details of that report that you was reading there, Tim. So as I say, that's something that we can always do, and I like doing that. It makes it interesting for our listeners as well, especially if they've they started to have a quick look into it, catch up with some of the other links and the other briefing bits and pieces, and so they're clued up. So it's always good to do that. I would agree with you, Tim. So yeah.
Well, the interesting thing about something like this is it brought to mind another phrase that was used by one of our guests recently, which is that history can take some unexpected turns. Now, I forget who it was, but it was one of our guests over the past couple of weeks used that phrase. And you might think that we're up against absolutely insurmountable odds at the moment, but I think you might be surprised at the sort of things that might develop over the next 5 or 10 years. We have a window of opportunity, as I see it, because at the moment everybody's focusing on demographics and saying, well, look, if the indigenous population is only reproducing at the rate of 1.6, where normal replacement rate would be 2.1, and the Muslim populations are reproducing at the rate of 3.5 to 4.5 or thereabouts, you can do the mathematics. It's not rocket science, but you can do the mathematics and demonstrate that in about two generations you get to a point where Muslim immigrants or the Muslim population would be greater than or equal to the indigenous population. And obviously at that point, if all other things remained equal and there wasn't any form of integration or assimilation because of Islam, then we would more than likely either have civil war or balkanization along the lines of Yugoslavia. Those seem to be the two main options people think are likely to happen. But there is plenty of scope for other things to happen in the meantime. And if we can just bring it home to Muslims that theirs is a lost cause and that pursuing Islam is a futile occupation and that there are better things to do with your life than to follow the failed example of the so-called Prophet Muhammad, if we can actually get that into their psyche, we would have the possibility of turning things around in not only in a lot shorter time, but also with a lot less possibility of bloodshed. Because the last thing I want is blood on the streets because of the...
I agree, Tim. And, when you say we've been seeing the pictures that's been coming out from Kyiv, what's been going on, in Ukraine, what it's like to have a civil, a start of a revolution, people dying willy-nilly all over the place and from both sides. And this is the thing that we, yourself and myself and many others wish to avoid those sort of circumstances where people take to the streets, build barricades, do the things that we've been seeing because they're so fed up with what's been going on in their own country, and they want freedom, and they want a part of what the West has got, that they're willing to lay their lives down for that problem. As I say, these are the things that we see unfolding before our very eyes in the last couple of days, haven't we, Tim? And that is the sort of thing, ladies and gentlemen, that we in the English Defence League and people in what we do are trying to avoid. But sometimes, you can only go as far as you can until there comes a time that maybe you've got to stand up and be counted.
You're still there.
But that's the thing that we are really trying to avoid, aren't we, Tim? We are trying to avoid that at all costs.
Well, we are. I mean, we see, and when I say we, I mean you, me, our listeners, I'm sure all of us see the writing on the wall, and the demographics is a big part of that. But what's driving the demographics, it seems to me, is overconfidence on behalf of the Muslim population, because they're currently being given everything and they see the rise of Islam as being unstoppable. Well, I say that it doesn't have to be that way. It's only that way because we're allowing it to be that way. every time a Muslim says, I want you to make a concession to me, or we appease them in some way or other, that adds to the confidence of Muslims in Europe or in the UK. And we have to stop doing this. We have to say, you are not going to have any more concessions at our expense. And we just have to say, this is coming to a stop right now. A way in which we might help to bring this about is by reclassifying Islam from what it currently enjoys, the status of religion, because Muslims have successfully promoted the false narrative that Islam is somehow a benign and tolerant religion, and that anybody who opposes it must therefore be a racist, hateful, bigoted, intolerant Islamophobe. They have sold that narrative to our political elites and to our mainstream media and to various other people in authority.
They took it hook, line and sinker,
They swallowed it hook, line and sinker without any sort of critical thought at all. And I think the reason that they've done that is when there were next to no Muslims in the UK or in Europe, and the first, not the first Muslims, but when Muslims started to increase in numbers and that narrative was first put to the political elites, they probably thought, well, it doesn't really matter, does it? You know, Muslims make up maybe, you know, about 0.1%, or they would have done at that time, only 40 odd years ago, say. And so it didn't really matter. If Muslims had come along and said, well, we believe that the moon is made of cheese, you know, and we worship a giant mouse that lives on Saturn or something like that, they could have said whatever they wanted. We would have said, yeah, fine, you go ahead. You know, that's not a problem at all. Because we never realised, or the people in power who perhaps should have looked at the lessons of history never realised, that once Muslims grow in numbers beyond 1, 2, 3, 4, 5%, then the paradigm changes, and the prospect of what Muslims might do in our countries when they become a significant percentage of the population, it is totally different from when they're 0.1%. So by the time the populations grew and started to become a significant issue, I'm quite sure that the people who are in our political elites, running our political elites at the moment, looked at it and said, well, okay, we can see it's a bit of a problem, but as long as we can keep the lid on it for another 10 or 15 years, we can retire and let somebody else pick up the pieces, rather than take a long-term look at the what is good for our country. And this is true of every European country. I'm sure all the leaders had more or less the same view on things. Let's just appease them for the time being and try and keep a lid on it for 10 or 15 years, and by that time we'll be gone and somebody else can deal
exactly
with the problem.
Exactly what we said before, haven't
exactly.
we?
If they took a long-term view and thought about what was best for the indigenous population, and also not just what's best for the indigenous population, but what's good for humanity as a whole. When I'm talking about the Judeo-Christian civilizational model being superior to that of Islam, I don't say that idly. I'm absolutely deadly serious in terms of you can make that comparison. A lot of people say, oh, you can't promote one faith over another. And I say it has nothing to do with faith. It has to do with the political ideology. As I've said before, to paraphrase Thomas Jefferson, it matters not whether a man prays to one god or 20, as it does neither pick my pocket nor break my leg. But the thing is, they are picking our pockets through the jizya.
They are.
And they are breaking our legs by just their complete violent aggressiveness and temper tantrums whenever they don't get what they think is their rightful due. And so it's a huge problem, and it's not a problem with faith. It's a problem with the political ideology of Islam. And if we reclassified it and dealt with it as a political ideology, we could take a lot of these steps, which might then lead to the demoralization of Muslims and a realization by them that Islam is a complete dead end. And that's the way that Islam should be treated. It is a complete dead end political ideology and of no real use to humanity outside 7th century Arabia.
No, and I think the only people that's really driving it is the soldiers, isn't it? Let's be obvious. It's the petrol dollar. It's all about influence with the money. And as you say, greed and money goes hand in hand, and that is what we see with our politicians. This is what we see on a global basis with our politicians, the greed, the corrupt, the corruptness of it, isn't it? But I was going to say...
Before you check on Kel, and I haven't forgotten about you, Kel, if you're listening there, it's just there was one final point I wanted to say, which was that as far as politicians are concerned, I think we all ought to realise that politicians of whatever stripe are always going to be prone to corruption. It's the very nature of politics. And I think the best we can do is try and devise a political framework whereby there are sufficient checks and balances to keep control of politicians. So we take the default view that if you go into politics, you're going to be there's going to be a lot of pressure on you to become corrupt. But if we have a political framework which can recognise corruption and deal with it in its early stages and weed out those people before their decisions become a major problem, we would all be better off. Now, I realise I'm talking about a mechanism which doesn't exist in our current parliamentary democracy, but nevertheless, when sanity is restored to the political landscape and we can start taking some of these decisions, I think that should be one of the first things that we should do, is to introduce those checks and balances. Mind you, having said that, I'm still pretty appalled by what's going on across the pond in the United States with Barack Obama, where the founding fathers obviously did introduce some checks and balances, and people like Barack Obama
they'll
are running...
Be turning, let's be honest, Tim, they'll be turning in their graves now to see what that person's been doing.
They would. So okay, it might not be the easiest. It's easy for me to say, yes, this is what we should do, but in practice, of course, it's likely to prove difficult. But as long as we know that politicians are always likely to be corrupt or to have that pressure on them, we ought to be taking what steps we can to weed them out as it occurs. Anyway,
I agree, Tim, and that's what we say. We always call for a total clear clean-up of the political arena, and we want... the thing I'm going to say now, and people are going to laugh, honest politics. I want people to be honest. I want people to speak out. People like Paul Weston, someone like Paul, many other people like Paul. That's what we want. Someone who will put the interests of the country and the people before anything else. The paramount, the people of the country. The indigenous people also of this country. And that has been sadly lacking with politicians for such a long time. But anyway, so maybe we can develop that a little bit later. I know Kel wanted to come in and just we need to take a break. There is a, ladies and gentlemen, we've been having experienced a problem with Corey calling in. So Kel, would you like to explain to the listeners the situation? And my apologies, ladies and gentlemen, it's just we've had some technical issues this evening. With that, Kel, I'll pass it to you.
Oh, no, it's not technical. This is Blog Talk Radio reinventing the wheel again. Apparently, when you book a guest, they have to have a Blog Talk Radio account in order to utilize the Skype feature, something I just found out.
Oh, that is the... Yeah, well, hopefully we'll get that
right. It's okay, guys, I'm on it now.
Hey, for
Tommy, baby.
It's okay, I'm messaging now. I'll try to help them call in.
Tommy, you're okay, the best.
Okay, there's been some few problems, but hopefully we'll get them rectified. Kel, I was going to say, should we take a quick break and then we'll hopefully... I know Glenn said that we could have another guest that might call in if just in case we have a problem with Corey. I was wondering if we've got anything that we can maybe... have we got for the break for this this part of the evening, Kel?
Yeah. What about the Grantham demo?
You read my mind, didn't you, Kel? I think that would be fantastic. As you say, it's pretty close. It's on our doorstep now, isn't it, guys? couple more days, one more sleep, and people will be on their journey. So, yes, please, Cal, it gives me time to refresh my call as well. So, and then we'll be straight back after this, guys. So thank you, Cal.
Britain's politicians, who control the mainstream media and groups like the UAF, accuse the English Defence League of being far-right extremists who want to divide communities. But what will be taught to Muslims in the new Grantham Islamic Centre in the heart of Britain? O ye who believe, do not take the Jews and Christians for friends. They are friends of each other. Muslims that make friends with disbelievers will face a doom prepared for them by Allah. O ye who believe, fight the infidels that are near to you, and let them find in you hardness. I will cast terror into the hearts of those who disbelieve. Therefore strike off their heads, and strike off every fingertip of them. And fight with the infidels until there are no more. These verses from the Quran are being taught to Muslim children and are being read and preached to Muslims in every mosque in this country. And what are Britain's politicians doing about this? Nothing. Our politicians would have you believe that these verses from the Quran have nothing to do with Muslim terrorism. If we don't stop this, no one will.
Welcome back, Tommy. Welcome back.
Here comes the buzz.
So you've just got in, have you, Tom? From
I've got my pot noodle now, so I'm all happy.
Yeah, he's got his pot noodles, guys. Tommy's happy.
The demos for Grantham have been released. The details for Grantham have been released. I'm trying to get back onto Helgauer's Facebook page now.
Okay.
I thought I should have had that ready, shouldn't I? it's been a very interesting day at work. I hate half time, mate, because we've got the crash at work.
Oh, my goodness me.
I'll tell you something, guys. I was on the phone to Jeff earlier. I said, so, okay, I'm going to go back and have my dinner now. So got in, there were children all over my office. here we go. I've got the details. Do you want me to read it out?
Yes, please, Tom.
Yeah, not a problem. Okay, so Grantham Regional Demo on Saturday the 22nd of February 2014. Meeting point is the Blue Bull.
4 Westgate, Grantham, NG316LA. Opening time is 12 o'clock. And the march is starting for 1:30 for a 10-minute walk to St. Peter's Hill for the speeches. And anyone travelling by train, please arrive by 11:30 and we will have shoes to meet you. Please no pig masks, but other masks are fine. And for everyone's safety, please be alert as we have intelligence that the lefties are planning to have missiles to throw at us. So what's new there? And please watch yourself and stay safe. See you all Saturday. No surrender.
No surrender. Very true. As I say, I've actually been talking to Glenn. There was some sort of controversy about us not being able to use a PA system for doing the speeches.
We use a megaphone now.
Yeah, we're going to use a megaphone, but so that's been rectified. Because, as I say, if it comes down to we find that they are using... they're a PA system, and it's only right that we should be.
Jeff,
you know, what's good for the goose is good for the gander, isn't it, Tommy?
Yeah, we're
going
to even set up a PA system.
But anyway, so I think everybody's quite looking for it. As I say, it's very near now, Tom. Hopefully we'll be very busy in Grantham, and I know you'll get the support, the public support.
About
like
800 EDL compared to an estimated 150 counter protesters.
So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. We're expecting, Tommy, you say again, we got about 800 expected. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. We got 800 expected at Grantham, which is just not a regional demonstration, this is, isn't it, Tom? So this
shows
how much interest that it's gained, that we've got that support, you know, that the regionals. And that regionals used to be quite small, but these days, Tom, it does seem to be quite large. The regionals have grown.
Yeah, back in the 2010-11, the regional would get about average 150, which was a small turnout for an EDL demo. But now we're, like, getting...
Yeah.
I mean, look at Ashton last year. That was a regional, 500.
Yeah.
Sheffield regional, that got over. That was about 700 people. Yeah, they're getting bigger.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's because, I mean, let's be honest, when people know now, and they talk about the EDL, and they're looking at the EDL in a totally different way. A lot of people are wanting to get more involved and engaged in what we're doing. And it's quite obvious that is showing itself at our demonstrations. I think you would echo that sentiment there, wouldn't you, Tom? That is
certainly
the case.
Water. But what you found with the regionals, more with the, well, you get some regionals, less for the nationals. When it's a regional demonstration, you seem to have more locals coming out to march with you than you do with the, then you have more locals than you do EDL.
Whoa.
Someone's got a Skype call.
Oh, I'm going to, I'm going to have to put myself on mute for a second. Just bear with me.
Oh, are we all still here?
I'm here, Tommy. How are you doing, mate?
Thank God for that.
Yeah, don't you worry.
Yeah, I'm fine, Tim. And how's my grievous mongering Takira artist?
Well, he's probably having second thoughts about what he did with going down to the police station and making a complaint against me. But
I was thinking you wasn't in court this week, was you? I think you got it moved, didn't you?
Well, no, just to keep you up to date, Tommy, and anybody else who isn't aware, I managed to get the court date moved from February the 18th. It was actually going to be the day before yesterday, and I got it moved to Tuesday, April the 8th at 10 o'clock in the morning. And that's a good thing, because originally I wanted to get it moved in order to introduce some expert witnesses to help me argue some points of Islamic doctrine, because I don't suppose that the court are going to know a great deal about Islamic doctrine in general, or Taqiyya in particular. And so I had somebody lined up, but he couldn't make the original date. So I said to my solicitor, let's see if we can get it moved. And the prosecution came back, and originally they didn't want us to move the date. But I rather forced the solicitor's hand. I said, look, you tell them if we can't get this date moved, then I want to take the case to Crown Court, and it will become a lot more public if we do that. It's an option that I have. My solicitor says if we can, at this stage, if we can get the magistrates' court to accept your arguments, that's fine. But in the event that we can't, we can still appeal to Crown Court anyway. So I said if I can't get my expert witness, that's what I want to do. And the prosecution came back and said, okay, in the interest of justice, we'll defer the date. That was their very words, in the interest of justice. Isn't that nice? We'll defer the date to April the 8th. So any of you out there who aren't doing anything on Tuesday, the April the 8th, at 10 o'clock in the morning, come along to Birmingham Magistrates Court, bring some popcorn, sit at the back of the court, because there will be fireworks. I promise you a great show on Tuesday, the April the 8th. Don't you worry about that. There are going to be fireworks, because I've got a few things up my sleeve for that mendacious, grievance-mongering Takiya artist-in-chief at Tell Mama UK, and he ain't going to like it when he gets into court. He will wish that he hadn't. I promise you that. So anybody who can come along, please do, because it's going to be fun.
Get your fight book, Kel.
Yep.
Saying that, is Kel still here, isn't she?
She might be doing some things behind
the
scenes.
I'm still here. I've been spending half the show in the green room, so I've been on the quiet side, that's all. But yeah, I'm here, Tommy.
Yeah, Kel. Let me ask you something, Kel. If you was to go to your local Tell Mother organisation, whatever the hell it's called, Tell Mummy, or Tell Porkies, whatever we call it.
Tell Porkies.
Tell Porkies,
that's
yeah.
That's an interesting thing, you know, Tommy. There is actually a Tell Porkies account that's been set up.
Yeah.
And that's so appropriate. It's just so appropriate for them lying scumbags. It really is. Sorry, anyway, I interrupted. Please carry on.
I was going to ask Kel if she called somebody a grievance mongering to key artist in calendar, would she, you think, what the world's like over there, if you called somebody that on Twitter? Would you get done for the same thing?
Oh, well, what would probably happen is that if there were somebody out there who was offended by that, they would probably report me to what we call the Human Rights Tribunal or the Human Rights Commission, because Muslims are infamous for utilizing our human rights commissions, which were initially, of course, as we know, set up to assist those who were being persecuted against because of their race or their religion. For example, if a black family wanted to move into a housing and the landlord said no because you're black, well, that is a human rights issue right there. But now it has evolved to the point where anybody whose feelings are hurt, they can haul anybody else up in front of these human rights tribunals. So that is probably what would happen. It would not be heard in regular court. But we were talking about this case earlier on the program, Tommy, and we were referring to this case going on in Ontario right now, and that there was a professor, and he posted a rather humorous video. It was a parody of Obama finishing his speech, walking away from the podium, and not looking too happy and busting through the door, kicking the door open with his foot and walking through. So this professor put it on his Twitter account, and he had to apologize because it was considered that he was engaging, he was culturally insensitive. This is the sort of crap that we deal with, Tommy. And we've got a new term for Tim as well, Tommy. He is microaggression. This is what they're calling it now. When you get on your Twitter or your Facebook and you get a little aggressive, you're engaging in microaggression. So, but in the United States, no, I wouldn't have a problem because they have what is called the First Amendment, and that is the freedom of speech. So that would not be an issue if I were in the United States. But in Canada, we only have freedom of expression.
Yeah,
so,
and basically just
where we get
silence. I kill you.
We get that. Get him out.
Yeah,
so
I'm basically just
going
back on
mate.
What Tim said. Basically, Tim, if you was to get a very high publicity case for Crown Court, I can imagine the Sun headline now: known cat strangler done for religiously aggravated harassment.
Well, I'm just looking to see how far I can push the description, mendacious, grievance-mongering Takiya artist, and as I think I said last week, I'm planning on having some T-shirts made up with that on it.
Make up or something like that to sing in the cards.
Sorry, you broke up a little bit there, Tommy. Could you say that again?
Maybe you can get some primary school children to make up a little chant or something like that.
Yeah.
Tommy and Tim and Kel, we've got a gentleman that will be actually, because we've had problems with Corey calling in, but we have got now Sunny England. English England to call in on the show this evening. So, Sonny, it's good to take your call on the English Defence League radio show this evening, and it's good to have you here, bruv. So, with that, I'm going to bring you right on. Good evening, mate. Good to see you. Good to hear you, should I say.
Hello there, mate. How are things?
That's great. It was good. We was having a problem with... having Corey on, she had to have a Blog Talk Radio user account, and there's been a few little problems there. So it's great that we've actually got you. Hopefully we'll probably get Corey Sunday, but she'll get a Blog Talk Radio account sorted out, which is free. Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to get an account, it's free. So, Sunny, you're going to be one of our speakers this Saturday, am I right?
Yes, I am. I'm also Wiltshire Division, the same as Corey, so...
Oh, brilliant.
And I'm Elstree
Division, yay!
How are you doing, Sonny, lad?
I'm not too bad, Tommy. How are you, mate?
Where can I start?
I was going to say, Sonny, that maybe you'd like, there's something that you wanted to expand a little bit on with Nazism or Hitler and that. Maybe, I know it's something you could be talking about in maybe your speech this Saturday, but did you want to expand a little bit on the show this evening, by any chance?
It's quite fascinating because, as I believe, the group that opposed us, the Unite Against Fascism, they opposed us because we're so-called fascists. Now, I've been doing a little bit of history and looking into it, and currently in Mein Kampf, the book that Hitler wrote himself, and he clearly states on several speeches that man did that he's following and is an idol of Allah and Islam itself and their beliefs.
He did, yeah. Page 367, and there's one religion I have believe in is Islam, and one prophet is Muhammad.
I mean, what it is, this brings me to another bit of a laugh, is the simple fact is we're being called fascists by people who are standing in beliefs of this thing, which is considering that Hitler was actually a massive supporter of Islam. So who are the true fascists? That is my answer, my question.
Well, we all know that, don't we?
I think that is an absolutely fantastic point there. And I've got to admit, Sonny, we have discussed this before on the show before, but it's good to hear that you've had a good look into it and realised how close the similarity between this UAF and what Hitler's regime at the time was doing. So it's got very similar overtones. Would you not say that, Sonny?
I would, yeah. I mean, it just goes, it goes back to everything shown. I mean, he clearly states on several occasions, there's no opposing that he clearly states that Allah was his idol, that Islam was a belief, if anyway. He clearly also states that is one of the reasons he slayed the Jewish, was because they were an enemy of Islam, and he clearly states this.
Yes, Sonny, if you want to look up Haj Amin al-Husseini, who was one of the orchestrators of the Holocaust, who was a Palestinian imam who flew to Berlin in 35 and 41 to basically instruct Himmler and Hitler on gas chambers.
Well, I think I'll look that up. I mean, I've been doing a fair bit of digging myself. And it,
yeah, trust me, I didn't spend 3 years at college research this not to know it.
I mean, I did my history at school, you know. I mean, I just look into it because me personally as a person, I'm sick. I'm born and bred into a military family. Now, my parents, my forefathers and so on fought the Nazis. And the thing is, when I'm stood in a street, or whether I'm walking down the street and I'm being called a neo-Nazi and a fascist, it angers me, because when you actually turn the tables, when you get this information up and all these things written up, and you turn around to them and go, actually, chew on your own words, they don't like it. This is the thing. We're on about proper facts here. When it comes down to pure facts, it clearly states that the people that the UAF, that the UAF that are opposing us are actually following Nazism. So they are the true fascists. And that's down to facts. That's not just me saying. That's down to facts on paper.
Didn't Winston Churchill say the new fascists would be the ones who calls them the anti-fascists? Is that the case that was used before they come about, even? That he said that
July
they would be the true fascists.
July 1946.
Yeah. And that seems to have echoed down the time that is the case that we had before. That's what we've got with these people. And, we will oppose Nazis and the things that like our ancestors have fought and died for. But they don't seem to... They're in a total different mindset to us, though, aren't they, Sonny? They're totally different. You can't have a conversation with these people. We discussed this on the show, that they're always going to keep telling you you're a racist, you're a fascist, but they've got no fabrication, nothing to substantiate anything they say to you. They just haven't got an argument.
What you have to remember, guys, is that these UAF so-called socialists, okay, now we look at what Stalin did, who segregated Muslims, who segregated Ukrainians and Finns, Romanians and Poles. Is that not an act of fascism? I'll put that out there.
I was going to say, Sonny, that's a good point, Tommy, and well said there, and it's something for people to ponder over. Sonny, I'm going to ask you about PTSD. Maybe you'd like to expand. Maybe some of our listeners don't know exactly what we're on about. So would you like to expand a little bit on that for the listeners and for the people in the chat room and that? Sonny, go ahead, bro.
On what's that, mate? Sorry?
PTSD, that's what Glenn was saying. Can you ask me about PTSD?
Oh, God, you know, my mind, to be honest with you, my mind's gone blank. PTSD, hang on, let me think.
It's okay, it's just what Glenn asked me. He said, ask about PTSD. Could it be about
post-traumatic stress?
Could it what, mate?
Is it post-traumatic stress?
I could talk a little bit about that. Now, it's quite a story that's actually quite close to my heart personally. My dad did 19 years with the Royal Engineers.
Bless him.
And after he left, basically what had happened, his friends had gone to Afghanistan. Now, he had developed a heart condition and was told, basically, leave the army or you take an office job. So he went into an office job for a while. His friends were going to Afghanistan, and basically he couldn't bear the fact that they were going, so he decided to hang up his boots and call it a day. Now, when he left, he had seen combat in the first Gulf War, Bosnia, seen a lot of things that, for him to say to me, used to say to me, he used to go, things that I never wish any other human being to see. So I never used Iraq anymore because it was a heartwarming conversation. Now, he left with all these problems on his shoulders, and he started drinking. We didn't know why, because he was a very closed person, started drinking, and basically that led to him taking prescription drugs. Now, my mom actually got quite worried and rung into the hospital. He was took into the hospital and basically diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder. When he got there, he was told that they would keep an eye on him and see what they could do for him. When they spoke to the lead, the head nurse or whatever, they were told that they were to dismiss him from the hospital, as it was something that he had to help himself with. It's something because a person
great.
He has to deal with. Now, from what I know, post-traumatic, he's passed away, which I'll put out there, he actually led to him after about 5-6 days after the trip from the hospital after he had left. He actually ended up overdosing on legal substances are so paracetamol, stuff like that, etc. Couldn't deal with what had gone on. But
oh
I need
God,
to Sonny. I can't stress enough.
What can I say, Sonny? That is absolutely a traumatic experience for you, yourself and your family, what your father went through. Being a great man, fought in different campaigns and that. And the thing about it, post-traumatic stress syndrome, it is very much, a lot of people just don't understand it. But if you've been in those situations, Sonny, and I think most of us would agree, if you've been in situations, you've seen things, absolutely horrific things. This is why soldiers don't always want to talk to people. How many times have you had conversations? They don't want to talk to them.
There is a big statement I always like to tell people out there. And there are a lot of boys and a lot of our boys and our girls out there fighting Afghanistan at the minute. Along with US soldiers too, and a bit of everyone else. The thing is, people think the main trauma happens on the battlefield. The biggest fight is not on the battlefield, it's when they actually get home and have to face coming back to normality. That is the biggest fight they have to face.
Sonny, what can I say? I 100% agree with that statement there, because I don't think people seem to. Some people just don't. And I'm glad, Sonny, I'm glad you're on the show this evening and explaining a little bit about the position of what happened to your dear father. And I'm so sorry to hear the tragic circumstances of that, but it's only right that people like yourself come onto our show and explain to our great listening audience out there of exactly what happens to soldiers when they step away or they have to go into an office job of certain things because of traumatic experiences they've had, that they need to be diagnosed and need to be worked with closely so they can overcome that situation.
The hospital basically said it's something that is not based in the NHS. They don't have to deal with it. They get over themselves now. I've coming from a military background. I've got a lot of I've known friends that have fallen in Afghanistan. I know parents of the families that have fallen that are still suffering years and years on. I cannot express more seriously that the post-traumatic stress needs to be put out there a lot more because it is ruining families. Even if they are not. In the words of committing suicide through it, it is affecting their families, their parents, their lives. I mean, it's so severe, and it's something that people don't look at. They look at, if a soldier loses a limb or passes away, that's a problem. But people are, and it is a big problem, and my heart's go out to the families that are fallen and all the lads that are out there doing their bit.
Amen to that, Sonny. I was going to say that maybe we'll continue in a minute, but I probably need to call back because I'm getting an echo off of myself, and I know it's very infuriating for our listeners listening out there. But I'm going to call back in. So Tommy and Carol and Tim, would you you okay to sit with us for a while there, Sonny? Are you okay?
Yeah.
Okay then, bud. Well, I'm going to call back in. Kel or Tim or Tommy, would you like to just take over just for a second for
Sonny.
Me, please?
Don't worry, Jeff. One of your kids here will take care of it.
Bless you. Bless you. I'll be back in a minute.
Tim stole my crayon.
Oh, but I do want to introduce myself to Sonny. Hi, Sonny. My name is Kel Fritzy. I'm Jeff's producer here, not doing such a great job today. Apparently, we had quite a few issues with our Skype. I am forever grateful to Glenn. We all are grateful to Glenn that we were able to get you on the line with us today, Sonny. So, very honored.
Well, thank you very much, Kel. It's a pleasure to talk to you as well. It's a great experience. It's nice to know that We're in contact with other people around the world, and we're getting the news out about what we're doing and the greater good that it's doing for. So it's a real honour. Thank you.
I'm going to pass the mic over to Tim in a minute, but I just... Oh, I'm getting feedback. Tim? Tommy?
Oh, yeah, I'm
one of the
still
kids?
Here. Yeah, I was just listening.
Here, take over, Tommy, because I'm getting really bad feedback.
Okay, not a problem, Kel. Sonny.
Yeah, hello there, Tommy.
Are you speaking before or after me on Saturday? We're going to rock, paper, scissors, it.
You know what it is, mate. I'm on last, as I always do. I like to finish off the meeting with a big bang.
No, yeah. Just tell me your birthday.
Yeah, no, I'll be taking last place again, even though we had a bit of a battle over the speech placement at Slab.
Yeah, well, I'm speaking my usual, you know. He writes in his last.
Yeah,
but yeah, it's good that you're looking into our fascist history, Islam, and it's part in the Holocaust. I mean, I spent years and years at college studying all that, so basically I can give you names, dates, even birthmarks of people who orchestrated that. But yeah, you've also got the Syrian uprising as well there, mate.
Yeah, I know, but I mean, the thing is, Matt, I mean, we could be on here tonight, all night, speaking about this, because it is, it's such a big factor. The thing is most of the Nazi war effort itself and Hitler's beliefs are all based on medieval and such Islamic views and stuff. And like you said, the Holocaust, that was like Hitler once said, literally on paper, it was so claimed that he did that because he was a great believer and that's what the world needed, you know?
Well, what you have to remember is, Sonny, try and get this in your speech on Saturday, is that the Aryan race is actually a Persian belief. Persia equals Iran.
Yeah.
That's where it orchestrates from.
I've just got back. Steve, there was a few technical issues. But I was going to say, we've got Cat Stringer, Mr. Tim Burton here, and, he's dropped as well. My goodness me.
Has that been Robert Spencer dropped?
He was just saying he just dropped.
Kel, great show the other day. I was on the edge of my seat.
Welcome back, Kel.
Oh, thanks, Tommy.
Welcome back.
Oh, yeah, I had to hang up, too, and dial back in because I was getting terrible feedback. It was coming from my end this time, and so I just hung up the phone and called back in. And, Tommy,
you sound great
now,
Kel.
Oh, yeah, guys, if you've listened to it, Robert Spencer on Radio GM Network, oh, God, it was great.
Yes.
It was a really good show. Yeah, we, pardon me, we had Wild Bill for America on the program. It was an absolutely fantastic program. And Wild Bill for America is absolutely a true American patriot. What I like is that show, there were three people on the line. We had a man from England, a woman from Canada, and a man from the United States, and we all were putting our heads together, and we all shared a commonality in that there is an issue out there that our politicians and those engaged in dimitude will not address, and that is the issue of Islam. So it was a fantastic show. Tommy, I saw you in the studio. You were my comfort blanket. I'm so glad you were there.
Oh, but yeah, tell you something. I mean, Robert Spencer, I learned so much from him, and basically what he says, you take it on board, and basically when you're against all these little fascist lefties who start saying, no, you're the racist, you're the fascist, but basically he's just like, well, basically I'm not, because I mean, the thing is as well, guys, is that my granddad didn't spend 6 years of war in France, in Belgium, in North Africa, in Italy, in Germany for me to become one. It just doesn't work like that. He didn't fight fascism for me to turn into one. I'm a patriot. That's all I'll ever be. Not left wing nor right wing.
There we go.
Hello?
Hello, mate.
Hi, Sonny. Welcome back.
Hello there. Yeah, I just had something there. Just kicked me off there.
Oh, I know. We're all dropping like flies tonight.
Oh, no, it's just...
It's all these jihadists chewing the Blog Talk Radio wires. Kel, get the zapper.
Also, while we're on here, so I got a chance to say it, because obviously we're hosting to a wide variety of country, I'm taking it, in America too.
Aye, and what's it called? Bungistan.
Okay, well, I'd like to say, I've with English Patriots, I've got a lot of good friends, 3 or 4 good friends that are good soldiers over in America that are serving as Marines in San Antonio in Texas. So we can't leave them guys out there doing a fabulous job too. I mean, they're in Afghanistan with our boys at a minute, so we've got to give them a bit of a shout-out and say well done to them guys.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Yeah, well done. Yeah, exactly. Big salute to them all there, Sonny. Yeah, Sonny, I was going to ask you, actually, how did you get into the EDL? I was asked this question to ask you. How did you get into the EDL, bro?
Right, basically, it's a funny story. I was brought up on a council estate called Chelmsley Wood in Birmingham, which is,
that, yeah.
I think a lot of people know it's a very multicultural area.
yeah.
What was happening at the time of my childhood, there was a big feud, as if you'd like to call it, of black and white people standing together that were being targeted by Asians.
The Muslims? Let's call them what they are, not Asians, the Muslims, yeah?
Muslims, and basically I was bullied horrifically myself. And as I say, as it progressed, my mum ended up marrying a soldier. We ended up moving, my dad who passed away, and we ended up on an iron base, and he was actually a fellow supporter of the English Defence League because his views were, I fight for my country, I don't do it, I'm not a warmonger, I fight for my country, my kids, and everything that this country stands for, and I'll get it through back in my face. It's about time that someone on the streets took the fight to the Parliament and said no. He actually said to me, he sat me down one day when we went back to Birmingham, and he said, don't take abuse off anyone, no matter what they are, or who they are, or what religion, what creed they are, you don't take abuse off them. And basically, I seen everything he was on about in EDL, and I had had enough of being bullied by Muslims, and this seemed to be something people were prepared against it, make us friends, and that's how I got into it.
Well, yeah, what can I say? It's thank you for sharing how you joined up with the EDL, and I suppose, Sonny, that you haven't looked back since then, and I think your father would be very proud of what you're doing as well, mate.
I've just thought, Jeff, because me and Steve are about the same age, we both joined for exactly the same reason, if you think about the story on why I joined the EDL.
Yeah, you got bullied at school, didn't you? So, Sonny, I mean, Tommy shared something when he was at school. It was really quite moving, and it moved me, and it did our listeners. And I'll tell you what, it sounds very similar to yourself there. You know, your stories because of the situation, how you got yourself involved with the EDL. And as we've all said it, the English Defence League is the only way. They're the only people that's really standing up in this country and doing anything where our politicians haven't done for such a long time. We, you know, it seems bad when the normal people have got to stand up and speak out on behalf of what's going on there. It does
well,
seem
exactly
wrong, doesn't it?
Just before Christmas also, another great patriot of mine that we lost was my granddad before Christmas. Now, after my dad died, I went to live with my nan, and he was, like, big on England, and he said, he would always say, you need, if anything happens to me, or my one way I would like you to go, he said, stand with people like this and make it, do something, like, be noticed for your country. He said, the Parliament and the government and David Cameron will not do anything to help. He said, it's down to the people of England now. And that was one of the last conversations I actually had with him, you know. So when I go on demos...
He'd be very proud of what you're doing, Sonny.
Yeah.
Your father and your grandfather would be very proud of what you're doing. And you're doing something that they would have probably been doing as well if they'd still, you know, they'd still been alive. And I think they'd be looking down at you and saluting you, mate, for what you're doing. So God bless you, Sonny.
Thank you. I mean, the big thing, the way I see it, when we go on demos, yes, they can chant thugs and alcoholics. I mean, when I go on demos, what I see, I go there to make a stand for my country. I go there, and damn right, I hold my George's flag, my St. George flag up in the air high, and I fly my colours. And when people say to me, I've had numerous people cut to you say, that is a racist flag, I'll say, no, that is the flag of the
forces.
That is our flag. And if you've got a problem with it, I'm flying the flag for my granddad and my dad and my country. If you've got a problem with it, then get your suitcase and disappear elsewhere. You know,
well
that's
said.
All I will say.
Does it not make you angry that these sort of people, you know, come up and make those, you know, make remarks like that? You know, because you love your flag and you're representing your father and your grandfather, because it's the sort of thing that they would have probably done, wouldn't they? That is what they stood for, to fight for their country, for the people of the country, and that flag means a lot to you as it did to your father and your grandfather. So why should you, mate? And fuck what they think. The others out there.
It meant that much to my granddad. I mean, my granddad and his brothers. His dad was prisoner of war twice in Germany during World War II. Now, when my granddad was actually buried, he went down in the St. George's Cross. He stated in his will or his last letter while he was in hospital that there was nothing else that he wanted than to go down in the George's flag, and he went down in the Wiltshire Division flag, and it made like me the proudest person. It was an emotional and a sad day, but it was just like a twinkle. That's what he wanted, and do you know...
That was his last wish. My goodness me, what more? And that was it. You fulfilled his wishes there, Sonny. Your family fulfilled your grandfather's wishes, and fantastic. I've got to thank you, Sonny, for sharing... you know, some of the stories that you've expressed was this evening, and the tragic the loss of your father, the post-traumatic problem that he had, and they're telling him that he should go home, and it's just disgraceful. It's about time that this country and whoever's involved with, when our soldiers come back from overseas, that they're looked after, that they should have counselling, because a lot of people need counselling, don't they, Sonny? This is the truth of the matter. They need counselling.
The shocking truth is that a lot of people don't. Believe it or not, and this is once again down to facts. A lot of soldiers that come back and have post-traumatic stress have to privately pay for counselling. They should be given counselling. That should be the least that they're given. Huh?
I know. They've been over there. And as you said, Sonny, that your father sees some experience. Like a lot of our young soldiers and lasses that see some absolutely horrific things, and they don't share with their families because it's too graphical. It's too embedded in their brain because they'll never forget. As you say, it's when you're on the battlefield and you're doing what you're doing, what you're paid to do. It's, as you say, it's not then, it's when you get home and when you're back to reality, when you're back to a normal type of life. That's when it comes back and haunts you. Those when the nightmares start. I know a good friend of mine, Army, my dear, dear friend who I've known for many years, he says the same thing, that's when it gets him. It's at night time, the nightmares. That he can't get rid of them. And a lot of people. And this is something that the MOD and anybody that's part of, you know, sending our soldiers overseas to fight these wars should really take it to heart, that these people need to be looked after when they get home. They shouldn't just be tossed aside. They've done the job for the country. These people should be looked after, 100%. And that's my thoughts anyway, son.
Yeah, well, I mean, you got the likes of David Cameron and your parliament and everything else. It's easy for these guys to say, look, they've been injured or they've got this, take out the army, we're making cuts. I mean, these guys are sitting on 85 grand minimum a year. Our boys are out there. They're out there for 6 months. They've got no Christmas half the time, no family. They've got little kids on the way. And they're treating like scum. And I think it's about time. I mean, England needs to wake up. I mean, when I'm in the street, I'm called a thug. No, I'm not a thug. I'm someone that's supporting the right...
No, you're not a thug.
We should be out there.
You're proud of who you are. You're a patriot. You love your country. You know what's wrong, and you're going to stand up and fight for what's right. And that is what we're here for, because, as we say, if we listen to what politicians say, we're going to just... The Islamisation of our country and of our nation... And these mosques going up here, there and everywhere, and politicians just sitting back doing nothing. If we don't do something about it, it's going to be very sad for a future generation. And I think you would agree with that statement there, Sonny.
Well, yeah, well, I'm sure with Tommy as well. I mean, Tommy's a great lad. He's only 19. Now, the thing is, what David Cameron I seem to think is that when the generation now that are with the English Defence League, when they move on, that'll be the end. Well, I've got news for him. I'm 19. Tommy's like, we've got youth coming in. We will continue this. I've got a damn long time.
God bless you. This is great to hear. What can I say, Sonny? People like yourself, people like Tommy, and this is what I've always done from the beginning of this show. And Kel will tell you that I've always called out for the young people of our country. The country's calling you, and people like yourself and Tommy have answered the call. God bless you, you two guys. I was going to say, Kel, would you? This is another one of our young, one of our younger people. Would you like to have some words with me? He's a great guy, Sonny. So I was wondering if you'd like to have a few words with him.
I'm always looking for another EDL son. I adopted Tommy 2 years ago. He's my EDL son. And Sonny, I have a big house. I have plenty of room for you two. I am very, very heartened when I see the young people out there and that they are taking care of business and they're taking their streets back. They're taking their countries back. The English Defense League has made such an impact globally. There are divisions all over the place now. It's because of the hard works of the English Defense League and your commitment. You are the tomorrow. You're the future of England, Sonny and Tommy. You gentlemen just make me so very proud to even talk to you. I cannot even express how grateful I am to the both of you, speaking with you both right here today.
Well, thank you very much. I mean, from my point of view, the way I'm seeing it, a lot of people say, it's all right being 19 and going on all this, you don't know nothing. The thing is, what makes me someone that could turn around and go, actually, yes, I do. I mean, I was brought up, I was bullied. I've been through experiences that a lot of people don't have throughout my life. A lot of people say to me, the thing is, David Cameron hates the English effect. See, he does not want us going ahead. And every time he says this, I have one little thought in my head that makes me smile, and that's, okay then, Mr. Cameron, I'm going to outlive you, so when you're gone, you can't continue your legacy, but damn, I'm going to be carrying mine all the way through, and my kids after that, you know? So I have to on him.
What can I say, Sam? This is what I'm saying. It's so good that people like yourself are calling on the show this evening, and people like yourself and people like Tommy, who do fantastic job and great work. And some of the speeches, I know I was talking to Glenn, you're pretty good on your speeches. Carry on doing what you're doing, mate. And, you know, this, come back to this show anytime you want. This is the place. You want to get your message out there. We've said this to everybody. Anybody that's part of the English Defence League or associates and likes what we do, please call in. Please call into the show, because it's just, I've only talked to you a couple of times, and I'm Sonny, but, I like to break the ladies and gentlemen, I always like to break the ice with people if you haven't talked to them before, and Sonny's like Tommy, what can I say, he needs something talk about.
I would also say that me and Sonny were getting weighed in at Slough when the lefties charged us. Wasn't we, mate?
Yeah, we were, mate, but we stick together as always, you know, forever
we
until...
Me and so just grabbed all the Richard, that was it. Come on, let's get him.
But what
there
I will
you
say...
Go. Ladies and gentlemen, you might think, that this happens all the time, but just now and again, you do find sometimes these lefties, they do get a little bit brave, don't they, Sonny and Tommy, and decide to try and break through the police line. Now, given the police, don't forget that what they're doing to the police. How many times do you find most of the people that get arrested are the opposition, simply because they've been attacking the police? Rushing at us, and, they put it this way, we're not going to stand there. People like yourself, Sonny, people like Tommy and other people, we're just not going to stand there and let them beat the hell out of you. And the thing about this country is you are allowed to protect yourself. If someone's going to take you, you're allowed to protect. Self-defense.
Sonny got this one off me, didn't you, mate? That nutter who grabbed hold of me.
What it is, the way I put it, there's one big difference, and this is why the UAF are nothing, and this is why the EDL are. For a simple fact, when they're stood on the opposite side of the police line, shouting and screaming in single-handed people, singing and shouting crap, when it comes down to the English Defence League, every single member, whether it's shoulder to shoulder or behind you or forward, we stick together, we look after our own, and this is why they will never break the English Defence League, because they're just a bunch of squabbling morons that are stood there just for the sake of it. Forever, every single... I like to say, I've found some of my best friends through the English Defence League. I would stand and stand shoulder to shoulder to till the end of the world, mate, with any patriot from the English Defence League. You know what I mean? They are the best people I know. Best people.
You know what, Sonny? I've said this time and time again. The people that I've met are some of the finest people that you know you could be friends with these people for the rest of your life. That's a sort of how people galvanise yourself. I don't know if you noticed it yourself, Sonny, and I've often said this to Kel and to other listeners on the show, that, you know, that gets me more than anything is when people are walking towards a demonstration, how committed they are. You know, they're there for a reason. They know that, you know, their ancestors would be proud of what they're doing, and that this is the right thing to do. There's no two ways about it. No matter what, you're there because it's so important that you are there. And and then when you see people waving out the windows, isn't it, Sonny and Tommy? Tommy's seeing yourself, you know, people waving out the windows, waving the flags and victories, and you know it. That's the reason you think, yes, that's I'm here because you wanted us there, and I know you feel that way, Sonny. I know you do, Tommy. It's great. It's really great to have you on the show this evening, Sonny. And be great to hear how your speech goes this Saturday as well. You're getting excited, mate.
Oh, mate, I tell you what, if I could describe my demo buzz, as I like to call it, at the minute, I mean, I could have picked that up for a toilet, mate. I tell you, I might have to go to a toilet. I'm close to weeing, Liza. I'm telling you now, my demo buzz is incredible. I love it. It's just the feeling.
The worst bit for me about the demo buzz is the bloody insomnia the night before.
Well, exactly, the lack of sleep, because you're up there, it's like a rehab, you're shaking. I mean, you know that tomorrow the streets are going to be red and white with great people, it's going to be your friends, you're going to be...
I know, it's fantastic, isn't it?
It's going to be sticking.
I was going to say, Sonny, I was going to say, as you are basically a guest of the moment, we'll get Corey back on Sunday. Hopefully everything's rectified. But I was going to say, we've got a great person sitting here. I was going to pass him on to you to have a quick hello to him. And this is who's part of the panel. It's Cat Strangler 101, Mr. Tim Burton. I was wondering if you'd like to have a few words with our Tim. He's been sitting there very quietly listening to what you've got to say. Tim, would you like to have a few words to our Sonny?
Yes, indeed. Thank you very much, Jeff. Good evening to you, Sonny. It's Tim Burton here. How are you doing?
I'm not too bad, Tim. Yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. I'm having a few technical problems at the moment, as I think one or two of us are, and my connection dropped a couple of times, so I wasn't able to hear your words to the rest of the panel in their entirety. But it's good to speak to you, and I understand you're going to be speaking at Grantham on Saturday, and my best wishes go with you. I won't be able to be there myself, but I certainly wish you well.
Oh, well, we will. As I say, it's going to be an early start. It's going to be a six-hour drive. It's where I used to live. I've got my nan going there also in support of us as well. So,
That's pretty good. So, I hope it turns out to be a productive day out, and that people listen to what you've got to say. I'm sure they will. And Is it your first time speaking at a demo?
No, mate. I've done quite a few because I'm young, but I'm like this big bag of words, and I've got so much in there. Every time I step on, I don't think I can ever have enough stages to step on to get it all out. Because every time I have to end a speech, I'm planning for the next speech at the next demo. I'm just like, I missed this one, I missed this bit, I missed this bit, and then it's like a repetitive line.
Well, no, that's good. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with being full of words.
Yeah, well, we've got 10 minutes of speaking time for each speaker on that there.
Oh, no.
Sorry, Tom, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say,
Sally, once again, I've got to thank you for coming in at late notice this evening. And some of the stories that you shared with the listeners and, of course, the good people in the chat room and that. It's been quite moving as well, especially the experience that you what happened to your father. But also the stories that you wanted to share with everybody. So I hope you're going to come back. Will you come back Sunday as well?
I'll be in with Kira. In fact, what I'll do, I will speak to Kira when I see her on demo day, and I'll get her around with me so she's actually with me on the phone.
That is absolutely awesome. Great job there, buddy. As I say, we've got about 10 minutes left of the show, but... what a great guest you've been this evening. What a great guest.
It's been a pleasure. I mean, it was late notice, but if it's to get the story out, if it's just, I'm not here to preach how brilliant we are. We're just normal people doing normal things that love our country. I mean, and I will get on, and even with late notice, I'm one of these people. If it means getting my story out, get me up at 4 in the morning and I will be there. Getting the story out because people need,
ladies and gentlemen, that's what I'm saying. With people like Sammy and people like Tommy, this is what I'm saying. This is what I love so much about being part of this great organisation. With people like Sammy and Tommy, this country is in safe hands with people like that. But it still needs to wake a lot more people up. And 95% of the nation wants to hear the EDL. I mean, it's quite obvious that was on that Sunday morning show, that time, that political show. 95% of the British public would like to hear more of what English Defence League's got to say. And if it means them listening into radio shows like what we're doing, the English Defence League radio show on Blog Talk Radio, so be it. Because at least they get the truth. They don't get it spun like the politicians try to spin, or the media. We tell you how it is, don't we, Sammy and Tommy?
Well, exactly. That's the only two ways about it, mate. This is what I love about English Defence League. The thing is, if you want to talk, if you want something, we will tell you the truth. There's no side crap to it, like you'll get with like the UAE and stuff like that. There's no old making stuff up. If you want the truth, you'll get the truth with the English Defence League. We love our country. We know the facts. We know the rights. We're not these alcoholics and thugs that the UAF like to say. In fact, it's actually funny because we're such an intellectual group, and it actually makes them look so stupid. I mean, it makes them look stupid. I mean, another group like the English disco lovers that are in with the UAF. Can I just state something? Their motto is "Don't hate, gyrate." I'm sorry, I've got videos, and there's footage out there of these people throwing bottles at someone. Are they that sick that they can't follow their own motto? Don't hate. I'm sorry, but throwing a bottle at someone and attacking police officers is hate. I mean, these are the sort of dumb dimwits that we're dealing with here. This is why I won't react to them. I just smirk and just think of all the funny things that these people are going for, you know?
Yeah. I agree, you know, that is the case. We see all these hate not hate groups, and they are the worst. That you talk about haters, then these people are the true haters, aren't they, Sammy? That's the
well,
truth.
Well, it's like the racist card. It's the easiest thing to pull on someone to make someone look stupid, and it's the same with their sort of name. They say they're not haters. And people go, oh, what a lovely group of people. They're not haters. I'll tell you, half of these people are vicious. I mean, Bristol, a couple of weeks back, two youths from the English Disco Lovers were arrested for beating up a 70-year-old woman walking down the street because she was buying alcohol, and they did it on the enforcer of Islam. I'll tell you, it was in the newspapers, mate. I mean, this is disgusting, you know, and it's just like people going... Oh, well, obviously they've said the EDL are racist, so they've got to be racist, but like with the UAF, they say they're peaceful, they must be peaceful. No, we need to, people of England, they need to, my personal
wake
opinion
up,
to these,
don't they?
Wake up, read the facts, drink your coffee, and get on the street and do something back. You know?
What can I say about that? Sonny, you are spot on. And that's what I'm saying. You've been a fantastic guest this evening at short notice, but my goodness me, in that short time you've put so much in. I hope all our listeners out there, wherever you might be, have listened to Sonny, because Sonny will be back again. Hopefully he'll be back this Sunday with Corey for the show, for the bit of a debriefing. It should be an interesting debriefing, I should think. What do you think, Sonny?
Well, to be honest, mate, I could tell you, I think it's going to be interesting because me and Kira are like two peas in a pod, you know, like she's like my little sister, you know, or my older sister, so to speak. But yeah, you know, it's going to be great. I mean, without her, there wouldn't be a Wiltshire division, you know. I mean, and we're at every demo because of it. We've got such a strong bond, and she feels she's just like me. But she's also got a son as well, so she wants to be out there. She's doing it for the same reasons I am, and Tommy is, and I'm sure most of the other people out there, you know.
Well, a big salute to yourself tonight there, Sonny, and of course to the Wiltshire Division for all what you do. God bless you guys. You're doing a fantastic job. And you put, actually tonight, once again, you put Wiltshire on the map, buddy. You know, the world is listening to you.
I started on team, but Wiltshire wasn't active at all. I mean, we took it on. It's such a big place to because what happened as we took over, people were coming out their shells, going, "Oh, that it's active. Like we can stand with people." And ever so gradually, we're getting more and more people at our side. We're getting bigger minibuses. We're going to be end up in coaches.
Well done, Sonny and Cora.
Are you
the RO or are you admins or what are you both? Give me a little bit of a start before we finish up.
I'm an admin and Kira helps out with me on the page, so I run the division. Kira does an absolutely superb job of supporting me with that. Like if it weren't for her, I couldn't keep up. Wiltshire is so big, it's like a sleeping giant. It is waking up rapidly, and when it wakes up, there's going to be a tremor. We will come on the map. We will be a division to be heard. We will be here. The young, the old, you know, we will be here.
Absolutely. What can I say? That I've put my smile on my face because that's what I love to hear. You know, the positiveness. You know, I'm a positive sort of person. I love hearing that. Good on you, God. And I know it's going to become bigger. Definitely it's going to be a one for people to look for, Wiltshire Division. So there you go, guys. You're on the map. You're on the map now. No doubts about it. But once again, it's really coming right down the line. So once again, thank you for your time. Thanks for coming in so short notice for this evening. Because I've got about 4 minutes left, Sonny. So let's see. Kel, would you like to say a couple of words to Sonny before we wrap the show up?
Could I say something, Jeff?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Oh, I just want to say good night. And thank you, Sonny, very much for pinch hitting for us on the program tonight. We had a few technical issues, and you came through like a shining star. I'm so looking forward to speaking with you again. And good luck at the demo on Saturday. Be safe and don't surrender ever.
Oh, no, that's brilliant. And no surrender. It's been absolutely great to meet you. I mean, just to meet other likewise people that, you know, like talk common sense and aren't shouting. I mean, it's fabulous. I mean, what can I say? I mean, all I will say is the English Defence League are here, and we're not going away. That's all I can say before I go to bed, and I'll say it every time before I go to bed. So
no surrender ever, is there, brother? Ever. That's what we say, Sonny. So thanks, buddy. Tim, would you like to say a couple of words? Because I'm going to wrap it up in about 3 minutes. So, would you like to say a couple of words to our son before I'll close the show down?
Yeah, just to say thanks for the opportunity to talk to you. It's good to hear you on the show. Hopefully we'll hear a lot more from you again and sort of let us know how it all went at Grantham at the next opportunity, which I suppose would be the Sunday evening show. If you've got a couple of minutes to call in and give us an update, that would be much appreciated. I'm sure all our listeners would love to hear from you again. But good to talk to you. And once more, best of luck on Saturday, and I hope you have a great time and that people listen to your message. I'm sure they will. And come back and speak to us soon.
Oh, I will do, Matt, and I shall look forward to speaking to you on Sunday. I'll definitely be here. I might be a bit shaky still, trying to recover from the good old demo buzz, but I'll make sure I'm here.
Yeah, good.
Okay,
good
Sonny. once again, thanks, mate. Thanks for such a short notice, and to everybody. And not forgetting, I'm going to say this, Sweet Sue, who's sitting, always listens there, Sue from Mexico, God bless you, is still recovering. Thank you, Sue. And I've just had that lady, again, Kel, telling me, I've got 90 seconds. So, once again, guys, thank you so much. What? You've been awesome tonight with technical problems, everything. We've got through a fantastic show. So, and we'll be back again tomorrow. So, with that, myself, from Tim, from Kel, from Tommy, from Glenn, from everybody, all part of the team, take care, stay safe, and not forgetting, no surrender ever.
No surrender ever.
No surrender, guys. Good night.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you, Del.
Thank you, Daddy. For my same life, you know that. Quite happy, what I got. People might say that I should strive for more. But I'm so happy, I can't see that fine things happening here today. A show of strength with your boys brigade. I'm so happy and you're so fine. You want more money, of course, and of mine. If I need you, the best was for Tommy's wife. Then the public gets what the public wants. But I want nothing, I have to dust. I'm going underground. What is the prospect for you? That's the path, going underground. What is the voice of funeral? Is the voice of shout for tomorrow? You might get some pleasure at the height. Might need some tension to relax me. I'm too busy dodging through your flat. 3 years for what you get. You made your bed, you better lie in it. You choose your leader, the place you're trapped. And the life of your down.
Well, not quite, we're just not on.
The bikini machines with paper rockets and guns. And the public wants what the public gets. But I don't give up.
Once again, we're into archives. My goodness me, Tim and Kel. We had some technical issues going on there or what tonight. It was a nightmare, wasn't it?
Oh, pain in the neck. So what was the problem with the first guest that we were going to have, Corey Smoke? What was the problem there?
Corey Smoke. Apparently, she needed a Blog Talk Radio account to utilize the Skype, which is something I had never heard of. I missed a lot of the dialogue between you and Jeff there, Tim, because I was, of course, as you could probably just knew, that I was in the green room. But I was speaking with a life coach. I contacted the life coach from the studio, and I was more or less, you know, we have a guest, and she cannot Skype in. Is there an issue on your end? And
yeah.
The life coach said that, well, if she does not have a Blog Talk Radio account, she can't utilize the Skype. And I was What? I'd never had that issue before, so.
Oh yeah, that,
I don't know.
That's actually quite a common thing, Kel. I'm not quite. I suppose you wouldn't encounter it if most of your people use the landline to call in when they're on your show. You might not encounter it very much, but certainly people who are going to Skype in, they are definitely going to need the Blog Talk registration to start with. And that's one of the things one of the problems I had with Enza from Liberty GB the very first time she tried to call. We had trouble. Because she didn't have a Blog Talk registration account, and I had to talk her through that. And I suppose the thing to do would be, if we think we've got a guest coming on, we ought really to say to them, try and experiment with Blog Talk Radio to get a feel for it by registering with them in advance of the show and maybe logging on to one of the live shows.
Good point.
Even if it's only like flower arranging or something like that, and just log on and practice getting into the chat room.
But I just remember that when Jeff and myself started out nearly 2 years ago, it wasn't always like that. People didn't have to have a Blog Talk Radio account to Skype in.
Oh, okay. Well,
that's what I mean. It was kind of sprung on me, is what I mean, I suppose.
Because I thought, like, Glenn would explain to Corey how it works, you know. I just thought that maybe she had a Blog Talk account. I didn't realize that there was an issue.
No.
So, yeah, I was saying
it was new to Glenn, too. Yeah, it was new to Glenn as well. None of us.
But
knew.
Glenn must have, because Glenn's called in before, so he must have a Blog Talk Radio account, a free account, must be, so that he can utilise the Skype the call itself. So I think that's something maybe, Kel, that we should maybe point out when we do some of our shows to let people know.
Yeah.
That, you know, make sure that you are. I will say that though, don't I, Kel? When I read out, that if you're hooked up to Skype. It's a Skype, and you're a Blog Talk Radio user, which is free. It's a free thing. So I will say that, but sometimes people, maybe they just missed that point there. But it's no problem. It's something that we can maybe underline a little bit for people who want to come on and say, oh, I need a Blog Talk Radio account then. So you don't have to do that, and then that will save all the problems that we had earlier on. And it happens now and again, isn't it? You know, but I think the show itself, with Corey come on, he was a great guest anyway, and hopefully we'll get them both on the show. I think that Corey will probably be, you know, on the phone with Sunny this Sunday when we do a bit of debriefing. So the only thing, as I say, people always listen, you know, quite looking forward to listen to what Corey had to say, but I'm sure that she can put her views and things that she wants to speak about this Sunday, hopefully, if it all goes well.
We'll get it sorted by then, no worries.
Yeah, we will. But
this was kind of sprung on us. I had no idea that this was a policy with Blog Talk Radio, but, you know, if that's a policy, so be it. We learned something new today, didn't we, ladies and gentlemen? What did we learn?
We had technical issues as well, so I've got to apologise on behalf of us, because there might have been a few breaking up, there might have been a little bit of feedback. I'm not sure if our listeners experienced any of those issues that we was having. Hopefully they didn't. You know, sometimes just outside that we get them problems, but that just happens. As you said, Kel, there's been a few people who've been experiencing a couple of issues the last couple of days. Blog Talk Radio hosts have been experiencing. So this isn't something new, which we've often talked about.
Well, actually, you know, when you think about it, this wasn't really a technical issue as much as it was a confusion issue, more than anything.
Well, there you go. But we live in a land of confusion sometimes. When we're live, don't we?
Absolutely.
But we run with it, don't we?
But, yeah, we learn something new every day. Yeah, we learned that Tim engages in microaggression, so that was very informative.
He certainly does. You microaggress to you, Tim.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's so funny, all these terms out there. You've got yourselves, all these IBE terms out there, passive aggressive, and Tim is microaggressive. He engages in microaggression. Oh my goodness, Mike, I'm telling you.
What's going to be the next word comes out? But I don't think. Well, no one's going to take that away from you, Tim. Was it mendacious?
Grievance
mongering Takiya artist.
Yeah, that's.
Oh, come on, Mike. That is something that's going to live eternally now, don't they? That'll go through history.
Certainly, if I have anything to do with it.
Well, it's going to live in eternity, that's for sure.
Yes. Of course, Mike, I suppose you could say microaggression is when you get so fed up with your computer, you throw it out the window. That would be... that would be...
I thought microaggression was actually when your microwave sneaks up on you in the middle of the night while you're sleeping in bed.
Oh, yeah. Don't you just hate it when that happens?
Now, I would be rather concerned there. I just want to say something now. I've got to be quite serious now. I'm pointing the finger in your direction. I did notice the slides earlier on, Kel. yes, you can lock. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, they bring my phobia into the forefront. Once again, not so much Tim, but this was Kel's thing. A very large spider on the show. The show slides this evening. And he looked a very aggressive sort of one. I said, Kel, once again, you know I've got issues with spiders, but good to see.
Jeff, you should have told us, Jeff. We didn't know that.
Well,
he would never have put any spiders on there.
The whole world knows now, Tim.
Do they? What do they know?
I'm not a great lover of spiders, you know?
Oh, you should have said. You should have said.
Oh, my God, I hope I'm never captured by a jihadist. Could you imagine it?
You know, Jeff, that spider, when you never throw a shoe at a spider because they do scuttle back into the corner and they have long memories.
I noticed that very much. I've come across spiders before. I've got them in a glass, and probably you have, Tim. You know, you get them in a glass, you put a cover over it, and you chuck them out. I remember this one. I chucked him out. He jumped up on the wall. He was one of those bloody ones that just jumped on the wall. And another one, he jumped up on the wall. I thought, oh, my God, I can't believe that. And then another one that I threw him out of the glass, and he come chasing back after me. They're aggressive, these ones in the UK, aren't they?
Well,
Tim,
yes, of course. When you put them in the glass, you've got to remember to add a shot of whiskey and soda on top of it before you down it.
That's the thing.
That's where you're going wrong. Yeah, that's right, yeah.
But anyway, we get on spiders again. I don't want to get on spiders because I'll be having nightmares again tonight.
I know, and I bet it's dark where you are right now. It's dark outside in the house.
Oh, she's going to get me looking under my bed, Tim. You know that, don't you, mate?
Yeah.
Yeah. They only come out
at
night.
Thank you,
Kel. Yeah. There's one behind you right now.
I just hope that I'm never captured by any jihadists. Imagine it, the torture. They put me in a room and they just put loads of spiders in with me.
Abdul, release the spiders.
Oh, no. Oh, my God. I just hope I have an heart attack and just I wouldn't see them creeping up on me.
Yeah.
But I hope that we mustn't laugh, because you know what they say to him. Sometimes you can laugh, and I'll not say no more. I think even though with the technical issues, and I know, Tim, you had a few problems, you had to call back yourself. Oh, Kel, you had to experience a few issues yourself, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I had to call back in myself, which was unfortunate.
So I did hear echo,
I
automatically thought it's me. But you've been getting feedback issues.
You weren't even there. It was my end, which was unfortunate timing because I was really enjoying having that conversation with Sunny. But we'll have plenty of more conversations down the road. What a wonderful young man. I'm very, very pleased with these young people out there.
I am, Kel. That's what I'm saying. You know, I don't know about you, Tim, but this is something that we've been talking about for so long, wouldn't we, Kel? We say this is the sort of caliber of people
that with people like Tommy and people like Sonny and other great young people out there, that they have come to the forefront of the country's called them, you know, ancestors are called, and they've answered the call. I mean, what Sonny said about his grandfather, you know, he had St. George's flag when he passed away. That was his last wish, to have the flag, and of course his father, and they both was very much pro English Defence League as well. And this is where Corey's come. This is it. It's his path. It's like Tommy. It's his path, you know, and many others. God bless them all, you know, because they're doing well. Thank goodness there are these young people. This is what we say. There are a lot of young people who live in their own bubbles, but at least they can see the real issue. People like Tommy and people like Sonny and many other young people out there, that they have listened to, you know, what their parents said or what their father said and their grandfather, and they follow. And that's what it's all about, isn't it, Tim? It's doing what's right, you know?
Yeah, it is, yes.
So it was a good show this evening. I've got to thank you both. I mean, and my goodness me, it was busy. And you know, I never got a chance to do a roll call on the guest room this evening, Kel. I do feel a bit embarrassed about that as well.
Oh, don't, because people understood that. Yeah, people understood that. I was probably on four different lines at the same time.
Thank you, Kel, because you were so busy. And, you know, we're talking to Glenn and trying to get Corey sorted out. And a big kudos to you, Kel. Like, legend. And we Kel, she works tirelessly in the background. And people probably don't realise the sort of work that goes in when we're doing these shows and we have a few technical issues. Kel is always up at the forefront there and checking this out, checking that out, trying to get our guests on and doing everything she possibly can. So, once again, a big salute to you, Kel. Thank you so much for all the work that you do. Not just
my
for this show, but for the other shows that you're involved, that you produce on. I know Tim's the same. My goodness me, you do fantastic work, Kel. So, there you go. Big salute.
I certainly try. Well, I was feeling a little deflated tonight because I had no idea that there was something called registering for an account before you could utilize the Skype. I wish I had known that even a day ago, because we would not have had this issue tonight. So I feel kind of bad about that, Jeff.
No, it's the cowardly. You know, we're sometimes we're going to experience problems, and I'm sure we, you know, our listeners out there know that we was having a problem. We explain situation, but once we've rectified that problem, we'll have Corey back, and you know, she'll be a great guest on the show, and we're all looking forward to her. So yes, it might be a little bit delayed, but I'm sure that the next show we have, or the Sunday show, it should be very much a prominent part. Oh, excuse me, I've got hiccups there. Oh, it's embarrassing. Oh dear. Sorry about that, guys. But yeah, I was just saying that should be
all right.
Out. And it's horrible. Does that ever happen to you, Kel? Do you also get the hiccups just as you're going to say something and it's embarrassing?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody go, come. So, my goodness me. So, what we should we round this night off tonight? It was absolutely manic, really, wasn't it? But it was really good that Tommy came on, and then we had Sonny come on, and it was, of course, not forget Schmeagle.
Oh,
from Middle England.
Middle Earth. Yep, on his way to Mordor.
I'm amazed.
Yeah.
Is it Morden? He comes from Morden. Is it Morden?
Yeah, South Morden on the what is it, on the Northern Line?
Oh God damn!
But it's great that we get these people from even, you know, Middle Earth calling it. I just hope we get now those, what is it, the trolls? What is it, the
orcs?
Those aggressive ones.
The orcs.
A bit like the Muslims.
Yeah, the orcs.
The Orcs, yeah.
Yorks.
Very similar to Muslims in the way.
There's a great degree of similarity. I thought that.
Yes, very much. Anyway, I think, you know what, we're going to wrap the show up this evening. I've got to thank you, Carol and Tim, for taking part in this. We only loved a little part of this thing. I need a cup of tea, mate. The tea that I had has gone stone cold, so I haven't really had a chance to go and refresh it, sort of thing. But thanks again, Carol and Tim. Do what you do. And we'll be back again to tomorrow night. It is Thursday today, isn't it? Yeah. I've got to do something. I've got to call Dave, actually, when I've come off of the show. That's why I'm going to cut the show a little bit early, because I've got to make a bloody call, guys. So it sounds interesting, though. But Kel, is there anything in the studio that you would like us to play this evening? For our exit scene for the evening.
Well, you go ahead, Kel, because I can't see the studio from here. But
Sorry, buddy.
No, it's all right. Not a problem. I'll leave it to Kel. She's usually pretty good at picking the appropriate outro tunes, so that's absolutely fine.
And I will say, she's a lady, so Kel, would you mind picking something appropriate for the end of the show this evening?
Well, I was thinking the In Light of Sunny and Rain song here that we could use as an outro.
That's lovely. Thank you, Kel. And I'll pass it to you. So thank you so much. And ladies and gentlemen, this is we're going to sign off for this evening. And Kel's got a great tune to do for our exit theme for this evening. So I hope you've enjoyed this show. We'll be back again tomorrow night for, of course, a pre-demo. Everybody's got the pre-demo jitters, as you heard
demo
from Sunny
fever.
And Tommy. Demo fever. And we will be sort of highlighting that on tomorrow's show. Will we not, Kel and Tim? Yeah?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Okay, then, Kel, with that, so I'm going to pass it over to the kind hands of you to do what you do great.
And there you go. Gentlemen, Tim, Jeff, have a wonderful evening. I will see you back here tomorrow night, 8 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. 8:30 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Yeah, I know. 3 p.m. is my show. Sorry, guys. Mine and Tim's show is 3 p.m. And my show is 7 p.m. on Fridays. My other show is 11 p.m. Oh, okay. Mommy, what's my name? Okay.
Not forgetting
all right,
Tim's
guys.
Liberty GB as well.
Liberty GB.
Ladies and gentlemen,
2 p.m.
Great
and 7 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time on Thursdays. Oh, gosh. I'm going to have to write all this down. I've got them all in my head, but it's still like I wander. It's kind of like my one arm is heavier than the other, and I stand up to walk somewhere, and I just end up winding about in circles.
But anyway, as I say, before we finish, ladies and gentlemen, this is what I'm saying. Blog Talk Radio is a great place to be with great people like Kel and Tim with their own great radio shows, Liberty GB, and, of course, Kel with the Red Fox blogger radio show. And, of course, not forgetting Kel and Tim is on, of course, our very dear friend Vito Espedito, Radio Jihad Network, Mamma Mia No Sharia, which is on 7 days a week. And Kel and Tim's are very much part of their prominent setup there.
Freedom, kudos to
all of our radio hosts out there. You do a fantastic job, guys. So with that, Kel, I'll pass the mic over to you, and you can finish off the tune for this evening. God bless you both.
You too, gentlemen. Have a great evening. See you tomorrow. Good night, everybody.
Of your smile and all the little things no one will ever know. Like it was yesterday, won't ever fade away. Goodbye is just a word I will never say. You will never be forgotten. Your eyes, when I talk to you, it just echoes in my mind.